Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
Good to be back here with you on another Sunday evening.
Oh, yeah. It's always awesome.
Yeah.
We've been talking about a lot of heavy stuff, as we used to say.
That is true.
Heavy stuff, but we live in a, well, strange time. But
yeah.
The book of Ecclesiastes tells us there's nothing new under the sun, that whatever's happening has happened before. And I guess that's true.
That is true.
Certainly it's happened before. And, but I think everybody who's listening and is over the age of about 45 could tell you right off without even thinking about it that things are different now than they were 10 years ago. Certainly 15 years ago. Certainly even 20 years ago. And we've been addressing that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to listen to the shows, you can go to giftofgraceministries.org and they're all there. But, when we left off at the last show, we were in the book of Numbers.
My favorite book.
Oh, it's definitely in my top 10. I like Deuteronomy a little better, but I like Numbers. Numbers might actually be my, Deuteronomy and Numbers are my favorite books in the Torah. But Steve took the Torah class about 18 times, so.
Yeah.
You got an A on the finals, I recall.
I'm all numbered out.
Yeah, and interestingly, you know, we use the word numbers because when the book starts out, Moses has a census. God tells Moses to take a census of the people. So there's all these numbers, mm-hmm. how many people are in each tribe. And so it's called numbers because the Greeks, when they translated it, said numbers. So, but in Hebrew, the word is, means the wilderness, which makes a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
And the people are in the wilderness heading to the promised land. And, Stephen's going to read, we're going to chapter 33. Now, I know a lot of you listening think the Bible starts in Matthew 1:1, but there actually is 2/3 of the scripture before that.
That is true.
So if you go to Numbers 33, starting in verse 50, well, we touched on this at the end, but this is worth reading because last time we, of course, ran out of time right when we started talking about it. So,
yeah.
Steve, why don't you just go ahead and read it first?
Yeah, and it flows right from where we left off last week. Yeah. So Numbers 33, beginning at verse 50. The Lord spoke to Moses on the plains of Moab by the Jordan opposite Jericho. Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you go across the Jordan into the land of Canaan, dispossess all the inhabitants of the land before you. Destroy all their stone figures, destroy all their molten images, and demolish all their high places. You will take possession of the land and settle in it, for I have given you the land to possess. You will apportion the land among yourselves by lot, clan by clan, assigning a large heritage to a large clan and a small heritage to a small clan. Wherever anyone's lot falls, there will his possession be. You will apportion these shares within your ancestral tribe. But if you do not dispossess the inhabitants of the land before you, those whom you allow to remain will become barbs in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they will harass you in the land where you live, and I will treat you as I had intended to treat them.
Oof. That last line is troubling.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm going to do to you what I was going to do to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're not going to get into an Old Testament study, but those people are going to be driven from the land.
Yeah.
If you don't do it like I tell you, mm-hmm. you're going to be driven from the land, which they were.
Right.
The Northern Kingdom in 722 BC and the Southern Kingdom in 586 BC, more or less. And so here, you know, we were talking about surrendering. You know, our whole series on discipleship was about surrendering. So here God gives them specific instructions. Mm-hmm. You have to take these distractions away from you.
Yeah.
When you go into this land, you're going to be surrounded by distractions. And you're not going to say, hey, those people over there have some pretty cool gods in their temples.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just go check them out? Or they're having a church picnic over there at the Baal shrine. Maybe we should go over there. Or the sun god over there at that temple. You know, there's some really awesome people over there. We should. No, he says you have to not only are those people going to be driven out, but you have to smash all their stuff.
You have to get rid of their images.
You have to tear down their temples. You have to take down the things they have on their high places. Because if you don't, it's always going to torment you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a barb in your eye, a thorn in your side.
Mm-hmm.
They're always going to be tormented. And from then until the Babylonian exile, the people were always tormented by idolatry.
Yeah.
Always.
Because they kept some stuff, didn't they?
Because they kept stuff.
Yeah. And last week we were talking about purifying our minds.
Yes.
Getting rid of our old habits.
Exactly.
And the spiritual healing that God wants to do, you know, work in us.
Yes.
That we are freed from all those old thoughts, habits, emotions.
Yeah.
That lead us into idolatry or sin, and thus it inhibits our relationship with God.
Yes.
And many times we don't see that. We think, well, you know, so I believe this. What does that matter?
Mm-hmm.
It matters a great deal if it taints your relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because God wants you to be his, you know, he sent his son so that you would have eternal life, that you would be freed from the yoke of slavery to sin.
Yes.
And that's what he wants for you. He wants you to be, you're an adopted son or daughter. He wants to give you the riches of his kingdom, and you can't receive the fullness of that kingdom if you're meddling around in idolatry, in profanity, in sin,
yeah,
and all this other stuff that, like we said, like Paul talks about in Galatians,
yeah,
and God himself is telling the Israelites here, get rid of all of their stone figures, all of their images, and all of their high places. Get rid of everything because it's not holy.
Mm-hmm. So I like to say, don't keep any of that stuff as a souvenir.
and we know that when they kept things as a souvenir,
yes,
it always tormented them.
Yes, and these things, and this is related to the discipleship we talked about.
Yes,
because
very much.
When you surrender, as you just pointed out, And it's not easy to do.
Right.
And again, it's not something that you do in 9.9 seconds. It's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And those things have to be removed. It's the old saying we always use about, oh, make yourself at home, but you don't really mean it.
Yeah.
Because you don't want people, you know, looking around in your closets or looking around in your cupboards because, hey, that's my stuff in there. Mm-hmm. You can't go look at that. And we tell Jesus, come and live in my heart. But a lot of the stuff I'd like to kind of keep the way it is. So God tells the Israelites, and this passage I think really shows how timeless the scripture is.
Mm-hmm.
Because it applies to us in the 21st century, just like it applied to them.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep the stuff, it's always going to torment you.
Yeah.
If you keep the thing, you know, it's kind of like I had an image where you're trying to stay pure and you're trying to have the white robes on. But once in a while, you jump into the mud puddle and kind of slosh around.
Then
all of a sudden, your white robe's all covered with mud, and you say, oh, man, now I'm covered with mud again. I'm going to try harder next time.
Yeah.
And it is a process.
Well, I mean, if you use that analogy, as you talk about that, I'm going to jump in the mud, but I'm not going to get dirty.
If you keep the mud puddles around, you're going to get dirty.
Yeah.
If you keep the stuff around, it's going to affect you.
You're going to fall into sin.
Yes.
You know, as you're saying that, I was thinking about like the Harry Potter books and stuff where everybody would read these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're reading about sorcery and magic and all this stuff and, you know, the forces of good and evil, but it's, you know, it's tainted with all this sorcery stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a deception.
Yeah.
And how many people, a lot of people read the books. But a lot of people in the church also read the books, and they think nothing of it.
Sure.
So
And the kids are all reading them. So.
Yeah. So your mind is being infiltrated with all this stuff except the Word of God. And yet we think that that does not affect our intellect and our mind.
Of course.
It affects our intellect very much so.
Of course.
That it clouds the truth of God because it's not of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you watch pornography
mm-hmm.
and you go, oh, that's bad. But reading about sorcery and magic and the devil, well, you know, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, let me practice some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Seems pretty innocent.
Yeah.
You're fooling yourself.
Yes.
So when we talk about purifying the mind and getting rid of things that aren't of God, you got to clean the whole house.
Yes, exactly.
You just can't clean what is morally denounced and morally accepted in our culture
mm-hmm.
because our culture isn't acting in accordance with God's
right.
will.
You know, starting a week before the Passover, you have to clean all the leaven out of your house.
Mm-hmm.
That's a metaphor for you got to get sin out of your life
yeah.
so you can get ready to celebrate the sacred thing.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
The leaven always represented sin.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, don't have the leaven of the Pharisees. You know, they thought the Pharisees were the holy guys. You know, I'm the one who has the leaven. Those guys are holy. They don't have leaven. Jesus says, don't have their leaven because you can't make unleavened bread if you put even a little tiny bit of leaven in the thing. So when you introduce even small amounts of sin,
mm-hmm.
you affect not only yourself, but the whole body.
Yeah.
And Paul says a little bit of leaven spoils the whole loaf because everything
yeah.
then rises. And so if you keep, you know, if you go in and smash the images, in other words, if you start taking down the distractions,
mm-hmm.
but you say, oh, this little one's cute. I think I'm going to keep this and have my kids play with it. I'm going to take this one home.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've kept that one of the distractions. Or if you have, I don't know, in our society, there's so many things you can compare that to.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm reading the scriptures and I'm going to church on Sundays and I'm studying and I'm praying. But I also like a little bit of this because this is my recreation. This
mm-hmm.
is how I relax a little bit. You know, we all have to unwind a little bit.
Yeah.
That becomes the distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you're exposed to it, in fact, when you were talking about pornography, I remembered something a couple of weeks ago I heard on one of the Christian stations. This guy was talking about it, and he made the point that if you're a young man now in your 20s and 30s,
mm-hmm.
you've been raised with this moral relativism.
Yeah.
And if you spent hour after hour watching pornography,
mm-hmm.
you have a totally different view on the dignity of women
yes.
compared to if you're 65 years old and you've never done any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And well, it's really very sobering.
Well, yeah, because it's permeated our culture. It's
yes.
everywhere.
Yes.
And see, with that, it brings down the defenses, our moral defenses,
mm-hmm.
because now that's the normal.
Yeah.
When it's not normal at all.
That's right. Good point.
And that's what people think. Well, it's everywhere in culture. Well, just because it's everywhere in culture doesn't mean that it's right.
Yes.
You know, and that's the moral decay that we are facing in our culture, and that prevents us in our relationship with God. It prevents us from growing in our relationship with God. It prevents us from walking with God fully in the inheritance that He has for us.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that He doesn't love us or He's going to love us any more or less. It's about holiness.
Yes. And we think we tend to think now that those things don't really matter, that sin doesn't really matter. And, oh yeah, we've all been delivered from all that stuff. But Jesus himself uses this hyperbole of, well, if your right hand is your problem, cut it off.
Yeah.
If your eye is your problem, take your eye out because
yeah.
it's better to take your eye out than be thrown into hell.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is hyperbolic speech, which was very common in Hebrew literature. Jesus obviously does not want you to cut your hand off
mm-hmm.
or gouge your eye out, just like when he says you have to hate your father and your mother. I mean, that would be inconsistent with the rest of the scripture.
Right.
Jesus said, now listen, I want you guys to all hate your father and your mother.
Right.
That's what he's doing is he's using an exaggerated comparison of I'm more important than your father and your mother. So you have to look to me.
Mm-hmm.
If they take preference over me, that's not good. And if whatever leads you to sin, you have to get rid of. Now, he uses your hand and your eye as kind of an exaggerated example, of course. He doesn't want you to physically harm yourself. But he says avoiding sin is so important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the people were going into the land, you know, this passage and so many others, God didn't want them to be contaminated.
Right.
So you have to stay away. You don't do business with these people. You don't let their sons marry their daughters. You don't hang around with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds pretty intolerant, but we know, you know, even the most moral, you know, you can try to be a really, really moral person, but imagine you spent a couple of months hanging around people that are totally immoral. Some of that wears off on, some of that comes off on you.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And after a while you say, well, that's not really so bad because I've been seeing it for 2 months and nothing's happened. So I, you know, it's okay. A little bit of that is okay. Don't contaminate yourself.
Yeah.
And that last line is very chilling, you know, because then basically he says, if you do these things, then I'm going to do to you what I was going to do to them. Yeah. In other words, you're going to be punished for this.
Right.
Not just the idolater, because now you're doing it too.
Yeah, you've now become the idolater along with them. Yeah.
Yes.
And it history repeats itself. And throughout Scripture, we see this where not only the Israelites, but now those who have come to know Jesus through the passages of Scripture, through the Gospels, we do the same things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Moses said, you know, Lord, this is a stiff-necked and stubborn people in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just as stiff-necked and stubborn as the Israelites were in the desert, because we are in our own spiritual desert at times, where we don't want to abandon the pleasures that we get from sin because they are pleasurable.
Mm-hmm.
But the inheritance that God has for us is immensely more.
Mm.
But we're going to wait. We're going to have to wait for that. You know, we await the inheritance that he has planned for us. You know, eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has ready for those who love him.
Yeah.
And you can't imagine what God has planned for, what God has in store for you.
That's right.
In heaven.
We see this through a glass darkly.
Yeah. Dimly.
And we don't, you know, we can make comparison of, you know, streets paved with gold and mansions made out of precious stones. And I mean, that's because we think of that in our human experience.
Right.
Boy, wouldn't that be cool?
But
we can't even imagine what it really is.
But, you know, really being in the presence of God is going to be in the presence of his love, his divine love that he has for you.
Yes.
And that is going to far exceed, you know, in that brief moment where I felt the love of God in that one, at that one conference, and that just changed my whole life. If I think about that, that intense, profound love that I felt, I mean, is that what eternity is going to be like? Being in God's presence like that for all of eternity, where there is a profound peace, a profound sense of joy.
And you'd still have to multiply that by a few hundred times.
Infinitely?
Yeah.
That's what I, you know, at times I think about that. If I felt that for a brief moment, an instant, what is eternity going to be like?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. Mm-hmm. You know, like the song, I Can Only Imagine.
Yes.
What's it going to be like when I stand before God?
Yes.
You know, some people go, I'm going to talk out about all the cool things I did.
Yeah, right.
And you're probably going to fall on your knees and, and beg for, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's pride.
Yeah. To think that you're even going to be able to say anything, it'd just be so overwhelming. But we can't imagine it. But,
yeah.
The distractions now, I know if you talked, you know, if you had a representative from every generation from, you know, the deliverance from Egypt to now, everybody would tell you we had it the worst. You know, we had the most, but we live in a time where there's tremendous distraction because now the distractions are right in your home.
They're instantaneous.
Instantaneous pleasure, instantaneous gratification. And, you know, I was talking about this with somebody a couple of weeks ago. You know, when I'm when I was an adolescent boy, you know, there were, quote, girly magazines. Mm-hmm. And once in a while, somebody got a hold of one. And
yeah.
We would, like, go to some secret place where nobody would find us. And somebody would be looking out to make sure nobody was coming mm-hmm. while the other two guys were looking at the pictures.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh. Now the kid can just go on his computer anytime, day or night. And the distractions are right in your house.
Yeah.
They're right with your friends. They're right with your coworkers. They're right with anybody who's around you. Hey, how come you never go to the such and such a place? Hey, how come you're wasting your time going to the Bible study when, you know, a bunch of us are going to go down and have some drinks? And you go to church on Sunday morning? Oh, no, you know, Sunday morning we go to brunch at this really cool place, and we usually get there about 10 and we stay till about 2 and we just, you know, drink Bloody Marys and eat. Mm-hmm. So instead of going to church, why don't you just come with us?
Yeah.
You think, well, that sounds kind of fun. You know, I wouldn't mind doing that once in a while. But these are distractions, just like go smash the images or else they're going to defile you.
Mm-hmm.
Move the people out of the way or else they're going to defile you.
Yeah.
Don't go to their temple. Don't go to their spaghetti dinner because you're going to be contaminated when you get there.
Yeah.
I don't think they had spaghetti dinners. Did they play bingo at the Baal Temple?
Probably not.
Probably not.
They probably had other pagan games.
That's right. But, you know, you always bring up the good point of even a little bit of that can harm you, can destroy you. It talks about a thorn in your side or a barb in your eye, even if it's a little thing.
Well, it's like, you know, sin is, this is what sin is like. I have a glass of pure water. Not contaminated. It's been, you know, mm-hmm. distilled. But I have a dropper. I'm going to drop a poison in it. Drop of arsenic in it.
Yeah.
Go ahead and drink it. Would you take your chances of drinking it with one drop of arsenic in it?
Nope.
Why not?
Even though it looks good.
It's still clear.
Yeah.
Why not? It's not going to hurt you. It might not hurt you that bad. You might survive it.
Yeah.
Might not. Yeah. But that's really what sin does. I mean, the devil entices you to go, oh, come on. It's not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
It's not going to hurt you. Certainly. Oh, God knows you're going to be like him. It's the same
approach with Eve.
It's the same trickery. And we hear the same fear mongering in our culture from on the television all the time.
All the time.
All the time. The same fear tactics that are talked about all the time. You know, really, the church needs to pray to break that fear mongering, to pray against it, and to silence it in the name of Jesus.
Yeah. So we have to, I was just thinking as you were saying that, we have to take care of those things in our lives, but we also have a responsibility to help take care of those things in other people's lives. People that we've been given, well, authority over in a sense of children, or we have a relationship with, or we're responsible in a spiritual way for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you're spiritually responsible for a group of people, you have to make sure they understand that.
Yeah.
That if they keep the souvenir of the image, it's going to contaminate them.
Yeah.
It's going to be a thorn in their side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard enough to stay on the path even without that stuff, but you got to get rid of the distractions.
Yeah.
Completely.
Mm-hmm.
Not always easy to do.
Yeah. And this is where fellowship between believers is essential. But, you know, you need to have an honest fellowship where people are going to push you, challenge you to go deeper in your walk with the Lord.
Yes.
And honestly.
Yeah.
Without hiding stuff.
Yeah. The fellowship is crucially important.
Yeah.
Because then if people have confidence in you as a friend and can say, you know what, this has really been bothering me.
Yeah.
And you don't say, what? You say, oh, well, you know, I understand that's a bit. And the fellowship also helps them in their journey and helps you in your journey.
Yeah.
And now the music's on already, so our journey's done for today.
But we'll be back next week.
We'll be back. So I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that as you contemplate what we've talked about, that you would ask the Holy Spirit to cleanse your heart, to your mind, and your soul, and ask him what is of the Lord and what isn't, and to remove those things that aren't, and replace them with the love, joy, and peace in the light of the Holy Spirit that comes through Christ our Lord, through God the Father. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
Isaac and Abraham, an altar without a lamb, a covenant ring, a hand raised in faith that God himself...
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.